I made a mistake last week, and I want to correct it real quickly. I said that Trent graduates this school year, but I'm old and forget things. It's actually next school year. So just in case, my wife said, Brian, what's wrong with you? And I said, is that my name? So it was cool. It was great. I said, what are you doing in my house? Yeah, getting a little older. So let's just start off just with a basic question. Does God reserve the right to interrupt our plans for our lives? Because we have plans. I had plans. I knew what I was going to be. I knew what I was going to do. Does God reserve the right to interrupt those plans for our lives? Now, for me, I know he did. But does he reserve that right? That's the question for today. Does an entrepreneur, can God interrupt those plans and turn him into a pastor? Can God take someone who is a businessman or a businesswoman and call them to the mission field? Can you train in one area and you know, man, this is what I'd love to go into and I've gone to school and I'm ready, and God says, you know what, I think I want to use you over here in an area you didn't even train for, so that in your weakness you're going to have to trust my strength. Can God do that? Does God reserve the right to interrupt our plans for our lives? Because that's what the story is today. Last week, you had a couple who were looking back on these expectations that they had, and they had never come true, and they'd wanted children, and they had prayed, and month after month, they'd realized, no, we're not going to have a child. Infertility, and finally, it's way too late, and they will never have children because she is advanced in years, Zechariah says, with great wisdom. And if they had waited until they had kids, they would have wasted their lives. I mean, there's a great lesson in there for you and I, because if I'm waiting until, and then I'm going to start to live, then I'm going to enjoy. Hey, cool, what happens if you waited until, and man, 2020 is going to be my year? Dude, COVID. Yeah, you don't want to wait. Don't waste your life waiting. Yeah. Now today, she's looking forward to her life. And she knows exactly what it's going to be, and God has different plans. And you know what I mean? Like, she is in a village in Nazareth, this small little podunk village. And she knows. She's betrothed. It's not married. Betrothed is she has a contract. She is pledged to a man. And I love the way the Jews did this. You would pledge yourself, and then he would go off and make sure he's totally ready to support the family before you finally go ahead and get married. Oh, that is so good. Yeah, she wasn't busy trying to raise a husband so he'd get off his rear end in the basement playing video games and go get a job. He's got to be ready to support her before they get married. Just saying, it's a good idea. Just saying. She knows what it's going to be. She's going to marry him. They're going to have kids, and her kids are going to play with the kids of the people she was raised near in that little village, and they're going to grow older, and her kids will marry their kids, and maybe she'll live long enough to see grandkids, and that's going to be her life. And she knows what it's going to be, and those are her plans. And God has different plans. Let me go somewhere else, and then we will come back to this. I want to go to the book of James, and this is not descriptive of Mary, but it can be of you and I if we're not careful, especially in our autonomous, I am an American, I can do what I want lives. Let me go here. And it's kind of a hard way to start, but stay with me. This is James. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to trade. We're going to make a profit. Oh, it's going to be lit. We have plans. And we're confidently bragging about what we're going to do and how much money we're going to make and how good it's going to be, with no thought of God and his plans for you and I. I got my plans, man. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be a fitness coach. I'm going to be a life coach. Dude, I've seen your life. Don't be a life coach. You're going to mess other people up. We're going to do these things. And he says this, yet, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Like, you're talking about a year, and you don't know tomorrow. You have no idea. Oh, I'm going to be there for a year, and I'm going to make a ton of money. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, tomorrow you're going to find a suspicious lump, and you're not going to feel good. And you're going to find out you're not going to make it a year. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, right? There's humility in that when we understand that. He goes on and he says this, for what is your life from the eternal perspective? What is your life? You know what, you're like a mist. I go out and I ride a mountain bike, and sometimes there'll be this early morning mist that kind of rises up, and it's fun to ride the trails through this. You know, I blink and that stuff's gone. Like as soon as the sun comes, that's gone. It's gone. He says, your life in terms of eternity, you're a mist. You're here for a second, and you're not all that. The universe does not revolve around you or me. And it really ends that whole self-important center of the universe thing. And then he says, instead, you ought to say, instead of I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, I got my plan, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I'll live and I'll do this or that. If God allows, in other words, you're submitting your plans to him because you're here and gone, he remains, he knows the future, he leads, and lordship says, he's the one who's in control, not you and not me. I think I'm in control. If you want to make God laugh, tell him what? Tell him your plans. Yeah. Right. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is not neutral. It's evil. Because it leaves God out and it puts me on the throne and says, I'm in charge of my life. And it puts self and pride in the place of God. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. For her it is sin. What's the right thing? God, what is your desire for me? God, here's my plans. What do you have for me? Because I know what I want to do, but Lord, I want to follow what you want. So lordship says, I want this. I would love it. Please, Lord. If you have something different, something that is what you desire for me that would most glorify you, cancel my plans and give me yours. Yeah. What's your desire for me, for my future, for my talents, gifts, and abilities that you have given to me? That gives you the idea, does God have the right to intervene in my plans? Does he reserve that right? Now, that's not Mary, and we're going to see this, but I want to jump into, with that in mind, Luke chapter 1 as we continue the Christmas story. In the sixth month, this is how this picks up, in the sixth, what? Sixth month of what? Sixth month of what? I hear little things. Come on, give me some shouts. Come on, pretend for a minute you're charismatic. Jump up and down on the chair and say, in the sixth month of... Go ahead. Okay, we're good. Good enough. That's cool. All right, good, good. I started to get worried because I knew some of you might do it, and I was like, dude, man, those are nice chairs. Yeah, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, miracle pregnancy, past childbearing years, can't have a kid. God has a calendar, and it starts with the pregnancy of an old woman, past childbearing years, in a small podunk town. But it's a miracle pregnancy. Impossible is God's starting point, we said last week. And so God's got this calendar. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, who is a relative of Mary, the angel Gabriel, same one who went to Zechariah, was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. There's a whole lot there. So an angel comes to, let's do it this way, because he goes to Nazareth. An angel comes to America, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Did he go to D.C.? No. Oh, I bet it's Cali, going back to Cali, going back to Cali. I don't think so. Maybe it is NYC, because man, that is, no. Where does he show up? Oh, he showed up in Montville. Wait, what? Montville? Actually, just right outside Montville. Wait, what? Yeah. Shows up to Nazareth. This tiny little nothing, no account. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Well, the answer is no. He just shows up. And he shows up to Mary, and she is maybe 14, 15 years old. That would have been about right. Joseph is a little bit older. She is betrothed. She has pledged her heart in marriage to this man. And so they are going to get married once he is set up as a carpenter and able to take care of her and the children they have. She knows her future. It's set. It's like waking up one day and knowing you're getting ready to get married that day. You've planned it. You've done all the prep. You've gone through the marital counseling or whatever you've done. She knows her future. She is betrothed to this man. And she is a virgin. The word is parthenos. And let's be honest. The scholars are right when they point out that that word does not guarantee virginity. They're right. The problem, though, is that she will say, I haven't been with a man, and the angel's not going to disagree with her. And so while we're busy trying to explain away miracles, let me just say, if you got a God who doesn't do miracles, trade in your God, you got the wrong one. You got a religion. Trade in your religion for God. She's a virgin. She's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. He is of the house of David, the kingly line, which, by the way, Messiah was supposed to come through. So that kind of sets us up. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Literally, it is highly favored. That's the word that is used there. Highly favored, graced is the word. The Lord is with you. You are graced. Nothing you have earned. It's the same word that is used that we are saved by grace through faith, right? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's nothing about her. We don't look at her and go like, "Oh, she's amazing. She's better than the rest of us." Now, she is. She's incredible in the story. You'll see she has a strength that blows me away. But she's just like you and me. Before you start, "Oh, well, that's her." She's human. She got a sin nature like you and I do. She got doubts. She got struggles. She got fears, just like us. And God chooses, just by an act of his grace, to have her be the one through whom Christ will come. She's highly favored. This isn't about her. This is about God's incredible love for his people. And she is honored to be chosen by God. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And of course, she is greatly agitated, deeply troubled. She is poor. She is illiterate. That's what she would have been in that day, in that age. Men got taught how to read, some of them, not the women. Poor, illiterate, living in Montvale, so to speak. She's in Nazareth. She is ordinary in every way. How in the world is she favored? And she's wondering, like, what in the, how could I, first of all, I'm not a man. So I couldn't be favored by God. Secondly, I'm not rich. When God favors people, he makes them rich and gives them power and position. And she didn't have any of that stuff. Who am I to be graced? I'm not those things. I'm not a man. I'm not rich. I'm not. Angel said, and here's a second time, watch this. "Do not be afraid, Mary." Remember, when an angel shows up, he always says, "Don't be afraid," because they're always afraid. "For you have found favor." There's that same word again, charis, favor, grace, with God. "Now listen," he says, "you're going to conceive, you're going to give birth to a son, you're going to give him the name Jesus, and this is a blessing." And I know that she's got to be thinking, "Okay, I'm pledged to Joseph. This is awesome. What that means is I'm not going to be like Elizabeth, my relative, who missed her opportunity and was infertile her whole life. Thank God I'm not going to be cursed like her." So she's got to be stoked. She's got to be happy. This is awesome. "I'll get wedded to Joseph, and I will get married to him, and I'll have a son." I mean, it's kind of weird, angel, that you're naming my kids, but all right. So she knows she's got a kid coming. She's working it out in her head, because women are intensely practical. Men aren't, but women are. Thank God for women. Really, I'd have nothing but a game room. I wouldn't even have a house. But I'm married. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." When she hears this, this is blasphemy unless it's true. God has no sons. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God. There is nothing else. There is no one else." Unless it's true, it's blasphemy. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David." And when she hears this, she knows Messiah. She knows consolation of Israel. All the hopes and dreams of the Israelites, of the Jews, for hundreds of years are going to come true through her. She knows her plans have been interrupted now, no doubt about it. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." He is Messiah. He is coming through her, and he's going to establish a kingdom, and he is going to be a king. Now, she has plans. She has expectations. She's going to marry Joseph. He's a carpenter. He's going to have a respectable business. They're going to live in this town. They're going to raise their kids. And she's going to grow up right next to girls and boys that she played with in the village. And their kids are going to play with each other. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And it's a wonderful community. And it's a nice little town. She's going to have a king, a Messiah. Okay, but she's got questions, right? "You're going to have Messiah after I get married, right? After I get married, right? Because I got to get married first. About that. Yeah." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I have not had sexual relations with a man, have not known a man?" virgin, Parthenos. And the angel doesn't argue because it's going to be a miracle. In fact, the actual original is up there and literally translated, I have not known biblically a man. And you and I live in a time where we will say, well, God used the normal method, but he's a special child and a great teacher. And I mean, come on, virgins don't have. By the way, it only happened once. Don't try it again. I'm just saying, virgins don't have babies. It doesn't work that way. And that is the time in which we live. And so we say, well, you know, the Israelites crossed when they left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, but really the sea was real down far, and that's why they were able to cross the Red Sea. It was only 3 to 4 feet. Dude, that is a miracle. The whole Egyptian army died in 3 to 4 feet of water. They drowned. That's awesome. People, man, educated beyond their ability to understand truth. Yeah. So she's like, please tell me it's after I get married to Joseph. Otherwise, everything goes off the rails. If I am pregnant while I'm betrothed but not married, and it's not Joseph's, he's going to divorce me. That's what they would do. They're not legally fully married, but they're betrothed. The only way to get rid of it is divorce. He's going to issue me a certificate of divorce. The townspeople that I grew up with, that I love, that I know so well, I'm now going to be the town whore. And the only way I'll make a living as a single mom is to beg or to sell my services to those same men who are clucking their tongues at me. She knows what this means. She'll be an outcast if she has that baby before she's married to Joseph, if it's not his. Angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. It will be a miracle. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Oh. Oh. But I'm pledged. That doesn't seem possible. This has never been done before. If you look back, like when things happen, I always look back and, okay, what happened in the Bible? Is there anything there? There's nothing. There's no script for this. There's nothing to look back on. And the angel knows that Mary needs more info than this. Because she can't go, oh, I remember when. That's never happened. This is a one-off. This never happens again. Only time in history. And so the angel says, and consider your relative Elizabeth. You know that old woman you were thinking about who never had a child and she passed childbearing years? You remember her? Because remember, they don't have Facebook. They ain't got text. She didn't get a text from Elizabeth. Hey, guess what? I'm in my 6th month. She ain't got that. No info. She doesn't know. This is brand new knowledge. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month for her who was called childless. Here's what he just said. There's already been one miracle. You're the second. That's incredible. God has taken Elizabeth and removed her disgrace and replaced it with grace. God has removed her shame and given her honor and respect. Remember, she said, thank you, Lord, basically for removing my reproach from among the people. It's a miracle. She's too old, and yet she's going to have a baby. For nothing will be impossible with God. Oh, let's see if we remember. Impossible is God's what? Starting point. Yeah. If you can do it on your own, you don't need God. Impossible is God's starting point. Absolutely. Miracles are a function of God's grace. They're unearned. So let me ask you. I want you to stop and think about this. Let's apply this for a moment. When we talk about miracles and the grace of God, what has God already done in your life? Stop and think about it. Like, see, I know my life. I know me, 20 years old. I know the drugs that I could not stop doing. I know the destructive behaviors. I know where I was going, and I know what God called me out of. For some of you, God just called you out of your good stinking morality. Thank God for that, too, because there's a whole lot of self-righteousness that comes with that, and it stinks. What has God done already in your life? If you know Jesus, you should be able to point back and say, God protected me from this. I grew up in church and God protected me from, or I went wayward and God drew me back, or God changed me in this. You should know something that God has done if indeed you know Christ, right? What has God done in your life so far? What makes you think he's finished? He ain't done with you. Draw your last breath. Then he's done. You still drawing breath? God is still working. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. And man, I've fallen so far away. And you don't. Do you really think that the things you've done after coming to Christ, do you really think they took him by surprise? Like he was on the cross and he's like, I'm going to die for everything except what that guy's going to do right there. I ain't dying for that, man. I know what that, I can't even talk about it because I'm Jesus. Like, no, he knew it all in advance. What is God still wanting to do? And you and I would say things like, well, yeah, but I'm okay. I'll let you know if I need you, God. Dude, you need him for your very next breath, for your very next heartbeat. Well, you know, I've got my plans, and he may interrupt them. I'm just too set in my ways. I grew up, I was born with this disposition. I was born this way. Ah, nothing will be impossible with God. Impossible is God's starting point. And while you're busy arguing about why you could never change, I know you saved me, Jesus, and that's good, but this is just my personality now. This is just who I am. This is just God's waiting to do miracles. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She's a new creation. If you'll remember the rest of that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And the tense of that, the old has passed away, it's a past action with continuing results. Every day you live and you follow Jesus, the old is continuing to pass away. And it needs to because you live in a world that's pretty messed up and it's easy to get influenced. And the new is continuing to come. Doesn't stop at salvation. You don't want to be a spiritual stillborn. God has so much more for you. And yes, God will interrupt your plans if it means his glory and you being conformed to the image of Christ, which is the goal of our God. Let's go back to it. The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then there's silence because the angel is waiting. The angel doesn't just lay it on her and walk away. I love this part of the story. The angel doesn't say, okay, Jim, you're going to have whatever it is. I hope you're not going to have a baby. But you know what I'm saying? Anything's possible. This is 2021. You can identify however you want. But the angel doesn't just say, you're going to, and then walk away. He says this to her. He lays this on her. He gives us all this information, even about Elizabeth. And then he just waits. He didn't leave. It's quiet. And he's waiting for an answer. Angels are messengers. He's not going to make it happen. She can argue. You know you can argue against what God wants for you, right? There are very few times in Scripture where God makes it happen. Like if God wants you to go to Nineveh, you may not want to go to Tarshish. I'm just saying that's not the best direction to get. You don't want to do that. It's a lot of connecting little flights and stuff. Very few times like that, though. God says, this is what I want for you. You can walk away from it. You'll face the consequences. God knows best. Angel's waiting. And Mary is considering. And all of her plans are thrown out the door. She says, yes. She's wise. Even at 14 or 15, she knows what this will mean. She knows what it'll cost her at least a bit. She didn't have the full grasp. How could you? But she knows there'll be a cost, and there is. She's not married to Joseph. This isn't Joseph's son. Would you believe this? You're engaged, and she says, hey, I'm pregnant, but don't worry, it was God. You would try to get her some help, wouldn't you? You'd be like, yeah, I think there's something going on there. What did he look like? Yeah, something's happening. What will this mean for her? None of this will be easy, that's for sure. If she says yes, if she doesn't argue the point, and the angel's waiting for her to answer. Our decisions come out of who we are. Listen, this is important. Identity determines destiny. We serve God if we trust his lordship over us. We serve God, and we go with what he wants, if we trust his lordship, his kingship over us. Else we just make him an advisor to our plans. Lord, let me know what you want. I'll think about it. I'll get back to you. All of her life, she's had hopes and dreams. Most young girls growing up, most, already think about what that person of their dreams would be like, what the wedding would be like, what the In fact, really, guys, just so you know, if you're married, you're just a placeholder. She already had everything else set. She just needed the right guy. You just happened to fill that place. Way to go. She knew what the wedding would be like. She knew what her life would be like. You just happened to come along. She's had her hopes and dreams. Yeah. If she's pregnant, there's no way Joseph is going to buy this. Good religious people, people who love you very much, can turn on you in a heartbeat in their self-righteousness. And she's got to try to support a baby as a single mom. That's all she's got in her future as far as she knows. So she had expectations, she had dreams of what her life would be. And God is seeking to change every single one of them. And here's the thing in the story, listen. He doesn't promise it's all going to work out. Do you see anywhere in the story where he says, just trust it, it'll work out. I'm going to speak to Joseph in a dream, it'll be okay, and then you're going to be here, and then you have to fly over there, but I'm going to take care of you. Nowhere. God doesn't in advance give you all the info you need to say it's all going to work out. He doesn't. He says, trust me. You take that next step, trust me. Okay, you took that step, it was okay, trust me for this next one. What about over, don't worry about that. Sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. Matthew 6, just take the next step. Who you are, how you see yourself, your identity in light of who God is, determines what you do in the pivotal moments of your life. Am I mine? Do I do as I see fit with my life because it's my life and I can do what I want? Or am I his and do I trust him and follow by faith? And here's the hint. Listen, it can't be both. I am mine and I belong to me and I do what I want. And I can call myself Christian and take his advice. Or I'm his and I follow him by grace through faith. It can't be both. This is the moment that exposes whether or not you truly know Jesus. Check it out. There's only one answer for Mary, regardless of consequences, and there's going to be consequences. This is the moment. The angel is waiting. Mary has to give an answer, and if she says yes, she's throwing it all away, and God is doing this to her. See, I am the Lord's servant. The word there is slave, doulos. I belong to God. He made me. He created me. I am his. When you know who you are, when you know what you're about, then you know what you'll do and what you won't do. Whether you like it, whether you understand it, whether doesn't matter. I'm God's slave. I'm not my own. I belong to my Creator. May it be to me. May it happen to me, as you have said. Then the angel left her. Then he left. He was waiting for that answer. She didn't argue against it. She says, I belong to him. There is no other choice. I don't like this. I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm going to have a conversation that is very difficult with a man that's going to reject me. And by the way, he will. That will be his first response is, yeah, we're going to have to get the divorce. I'll do it quietly because I'm a good man. I don't want to put you to shame, but I can't do this. That's what's going to happen. She is pregnant, she's unmarried, yet she is betrothed. She is young, 14 to 15 years old, and she's facing an uncertain future. And she has heard that her very old relative, Elizabeth, is impossibly pregnant. We'll look at that next week, Lord willing. We will finish that story next week. God rarely tells his servants that everything will be okay. And sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes it's very difficult because this is where we work. Heaven is where we rest. But he does call us to follow. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. If I could see everything in advance, I think I would have walked away through certain times. And I would have missed so many blessings. Older men can look back. Older women can look back and see those times. Does God reserve the right to interrupt our plans? If he's God, yes. Absolutely, he's our creator. Let's read back through it. I'm going to do it quickly. Come now, you who say, I got plans. I'm going to do well. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to make bank. I got plans. I'm going to get fit. I got plans. I'm going to... Good. But you don't know what tomorrow will bring. We're going to have a grand opening. The very next week, COVID's going to hit. We're going to run about half what we were running from then on. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist. You're here for a minute and you're gone. Oh, but it's all about me. No, it can't be all about you. If it is, It's a small little world. It's here and gone. Instead, you ought to say, you know what, Lord? Your desire. What is your desire? Here's what I would like. What do you want for me? If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, don't boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. All this is easy. You and I say, Lord, here's what I want. Nothing wrong with that. Submit your plans to God. But if you have something different, show me, Lord. I don't like it. I may not want it, but I trust you. The disciples are speaking to Jesus. They ask him a question. He's just laid down some heavy stuff. The whole bunch of crowds, like the mega church, just leaves Jesus. Do you remember this in the book of John? And Jesus looks at the disciples because the crowds have left. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he doesn't even say, hey, guys, I meant that metaphorically. It's a symbol. You'll be in a church. I'll give you a little wafer. It won't taste good. They'll give you some grape juice. He doesn't say that. He just says, you're going to have to eat my flesh, drink my blood. The crowd leaves. He looks at the disciples, and he says, you guys want to leave me too? And I love the response back. Hey, Lord, where the frig are we going to go? You got the words of life. We believe and we know that you're the Holy One of Israel. Lord, I may not understand all of it, but my life is yours. Whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want, I belong to you. I'll make my plans, but only after praying and submitting them to you. That's lordship, and that's what true Christianity is. Right? We're followers of the way. We follow our rabbi, our Messiah. That's Christianity. Walking an aisle is easy. Praying a prayer is easy. Getting dunked is kind of fun in the way we do it in the river. Christianity is, Lord, I belong to you. I give you all of it. God reserves the right to interrupt our plans because he created us and he knows better than we do. And he has greater plans for us. And I'd be willing to bet you, as we're talking through all of this stuff, we talk lordship, that for some of us, walls are coming up and we're feeling kind of defensive. And nobody's going to come knock on your door. If you feel defensive, if you're like, I don't know. Why? Because once you get to the answer to the why, you'll understand that stronghold that's in your life that needs to be knocked down by God. Do you trust that your God knows best, loves you, and wants what's best for you? That's the only question you have to answer. Let's take a moment and pray.